We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one super easily, then distribute it everywhere, and even earn money. We like that. All in one place for totally free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your cellular telephone or your computer, so no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else, those other places that podcasts are heard.
Video podcasts are also available on Spotify. And when you want to take conversations with your fans to the next level, Q&As and polls are the best way to get them talking. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free. Zero catch. We've been using it ever since we started How Long Gone. And ever since I discovered Spotify for Podcasters, I feel like having the option of turning off the Q&As and the polls on the user dashboard has really helped boost my creativity and take it to another level. I highly recommend giving it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Chris Breezy.
Hola.
Oh. Touchdown Black. What's up, bro? How are you?
What's up, baby? You know how I put 7-6 on the board. You got to kick the field goal for me, though. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Quarter Black.
I can make a sports. Quarter Black? Woo! How are you, TJ?
Not bad. I just finished my silly little leg exercises, hit the showers, and now I'm rubbing some Weed Sport on my calf. Just made an iced matcha latte. I'm on my second liter of water right now, trying to catch up with the god. I don't have a gallon yet, but you know, we're building towards a gallon.
In the words of Future, I need a Percocet and a gallon, and that sounds like what you need right now.
God,
for your little knee injury.
What I wouldn't give to have a Percocet and a gallon. I mean, I'll take a gallon of water. It doesn't even have to be high tech, low tech, mid tech. It don't matter.
I'll take anything. I'll take anything you got. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're on the road to recovery. At least I know that there's still some pain, but it sounds like you're doing, you know, what you're supposed to do.
I am. Every day gets a little bit better, but it's still an uphill battle. You know, walking around is still, you know, some pretty severe pain, and it's more so the frustration of not being able to exercise when I know that. Not only do I need it for my mind and body and spirit, but, you know, just to, you know, fight away the stress and the anxiety, you know, make me a more calm and relaxed person. I can't do any of that. So ironically and unfortunately, you know, I'm figuring out how to deal with that. And it's unfortunately been by eating more food instead of less food.
Jason, you know, actually.
Talking about it is the first step, Chris. I am proud.
I unfortunately did have lunch yesterday, so I can't relate.
Well, you had a travel day. That's why. What did you eat? Was it the lemonade at the LAX Delta terminal?
No. I had a light salad at a undisclosed corporate cafeteria. and honestly, it wasn't bad, and the view is amazing. And then last night, in a twist. First of all, this town is like
I'm gonna let you gloss over and skip past the corporate cafeteria that you dined in, just because I feel nice today, Chris.
I'm not proud to admit it, but I will say I am now working with LinkedIn, and you know their corporate headquarters is here.
Another deflection. That's fine. You keep feeding the fire. No. I'm gonna have to strike, Chris. Just to let you know.
I would never. But then last night, because something in San Francisco, it's like shit is still like closed here. Like the vibe is bad. Like people are not out. It's weird. Like people aren't out. Like. I'm under the impression that San Francisco and Northern California in general was like ahead of LA, actually, as far as like reopening.
Yeah, I would have thought so, but I think they are behind us in terms of wanting it to be over.
Yeah,
I think they're so busy, you know, work. They don't want to go back to the office. That's the problem.
These Oakland Bernie cucks aren't looking to cross that bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't have an Escuela with a DJ set from Omar S happening. They're just like, well. You know, I love the fact that I can hang out with my puppo dogger at home and order my Indonesian takeout on caviar. Why would I ever want to go to the office where the mean people talk to me?
Exactly. No, exactly. So last night, because of that, I had to go on a run, which I, you know, a long run, which I haven't done in a while.
Night run.
No, it was beautiful. I was running by the water, looking at all the ugly people on their scooters. Mm-hmm. But it was a... Overall, I feel good today. It was nice to get that run in. I can see once temperatures are raising, it looks like I'm going to have to be back on the pavement.
How many miles did you hit, or kilometers? I don't know how you do it on Strava.
It was a light. It was a light six. I kept it very light. A light six.
Mm. Still good. Nothing to sneeze at.
Nothing to sneeze at. But then I had to have in a twisted, even more twisted news. I had another salad for dinner. Thank you, Sweetgreen.
Nothing twisted about you eating salad for lunch and for dinner, Chris. That's kind of.
Well, this restaurant
course.
Here, somebody reminded me, there's this amazing vegetarian restaurant here called Greens. That's like a late 70s, like the food is really good, but it's in this beautiful building. And I realized I'd actually been there like years ago with my friend Kellen when we were here shooting something. And I don't have time to make it over there before I head back south. But great restaurant. I can't wait to go back.
It was Greens with an S or a Z?
With an S. It's like an old school. It's like a perfect like late 70s vegetarian restaurant. It's mm-hmm. like exactly my shit. You know what I mean? Right up my street.
The Bay Area equivalent of where you might find Woody Allen eating on Annie Hall, ordering a sprout and yeast sandwich at the Source Family Restaurant.
It reminds me, there was a place in Atlanta called Cafe Sunflower that we grew up going to that was like, quote unquote, like the nice vegan restaurant mm-hmm. or vegetarian restaurant. And it's still there and it's delicious. I had it over the holidays. So, you know, I love an old school vegetarian establishment. Warms my cockles.
Yeah, maybe maybe that can be our next move once the How Long Gone cult comes to complete fruition. We can open up some type of health food store that has a little bit of those undertones that make you question what's going on. But
yeah, what's really
God
going
damn
on
it
here?
This tahini is so good, I ain't gonna ask any questions.
Exactly. It is, you know, Jason, at a classic vegetarian restaurant, it really is all about the sauce. Much like when I'm getting dressed in the morning, it's all about the sauce.
We're back to the, I mean, it's absolutely true. When all you're doing is featuring God's great greens,
yeah,
it really
serious.
Does boil down to the sauce, doesn't it?
It really does. But yeah, anyway, so I'm on my tea grizzly. Mm-hmm. And you know, I can't wait to head back and you know, I had to unfortunately have to reschedule a session with Hunter, so I'm feeling, you know, a little out of sorts. But you know, I'll be back in the lab pushing two plates in just a few short hours.
Okay. Well, we have also been on our NFT grizzly, and we should
Oh yeah, we have. I mean, our NFT grizzly unfortunately turned out paying about minimum wage, but you know what, I don't really care, because you know, in my mind, I just like to throw my hat in the ring. We already had the content created, so why not share it in a new, fun, and exciting way? You know,
it wasn't bad, but it did not end up becoming our retirement fund just quite yet. But hey, that's the risk. I'm not able to buy my second home off of the NFT earnings.
Unfortunately,
yet.
I still don't understand NFTs, so I didn't know we had the potential to make that much money on it. But it does seem like a quickly growing category that I, now that we are not involved in it anymore, I will never pay attention to again.
Well, you know, we could still be in it. Maybe the NFT that we sold was not exactly the offering that we should have done. Maybe it should have been something more, because there's kind of two different ones. There's like, here's the big NFT that features the big thing, you know, whatever it is, like the classic meme from this person, or
yes,
you know, a one of a kind Aphex Twin song that will go to the highest bidder for six figures or whatever. And then there's also the ones where like it's more of a, you offer like, here's 100 NFTs or here's 10 NFTs or whatever. and then they're all kind of priced affordably, so everyone can afford them. It's not just banking on the fact that a crypto whale will hopefully catch sight and smash that purchase button.
It's weird because our crypto whale has the word hustle in his username, and he directed a smoke perp video. So I don't know. I guess whales take on all kinds of different shapes and sizes.
This one is less of a whale and more of
a dolphin,
more of a branzino. A bone-in branzino, still a fine branzino, but you know, less of a great white.
Look, I'm just happy to experiment. I don't really give a fuck. I mean, our guest today, we should ask him about it because he's had more success than we have.
Yeah. We made, you know, 3,700, and he made, you know, some more closer to 30 grand off of his. But you know, I guess he's more of a true artiste. You know, that's debatable, though. We'll see. We'll see if he's an artiste, you know, on the pot.
He ain't an artiste when he comes into my fucking studio, baby. Mm-hmm. I'm Picasso and How Long Gone, okay?
Yes. But anyway, you know, the person who won, his name's Justin Staple. He does produce music videos. And, you know, like we said in the agreement, if it goes for a lot of money, we will be nice to you. And if it doesn't go for that much money, we will be less pleasant to you. And I think Justin knows, and we all know, that it falls into the latter of the two.
Yeah. Justin, I'd put the vest on, bro. We'll reach out to you shortly, but yeah. I would have the Kevlar ready.
So,
you know what
so
I'm
yeah, his username at All The Smoke is quite fitting.
I love when a plan comes together.
And luckily, you know, Justin, it appears that he is a fan of the pod, and he kind of
he knows what he's getting into.
He knows what time it is, and hopefully he is welcoming All The Smoke with open arms.
It'll just be nice for me to take a day off from, you know, directing that at you and finding another person.
That's more so what this is all about.
I think you gave him the money to buy that so that you could have a day. You could have a day off.
But you know,
I mean,
but Chris, now that we have two Ethereum coins in our bank account, I get one and you get one. So we will, you know, since you don't know anything about it and won't really be paying attention to it anyway, we can just leave this in TJ's digital wallet, and then we can just revisit it one day down the road. And you know, hopefully the world of crypto and Ethereum will continue to grow. And those two coins will end up, you know, paying dividends.
Yeah, sure, bro. Let me know. I mean, you know, I'm going to check out from that conversation, and I'm going to continue to look at my baseball card gains instead, my sports card gains.
You know, well, a lot of people think that the sports card inflation and frenzy and craze from the last year or two was sort of a little pre-run psyop.
Precursor
to the impending NFT doom that was around the corner.
You know what, Jason? You know what? You know how I know I'm an old school cat? I just like to work and make as much money as possible. I don't like these little get rich quick schemes, this little, you know, I just, it doesn't appeal to me that much.
Yeah, but don't you like delegating, making your money work for you, you know, investing, diversifying?
That's what my private wealth management does, Jason. I don't know what you mean.
Unfortunately for you, that person is me right now. In the digital space, that person is me, and you know, lucky for you, I'm not taking an upfront fee. It's more of a
thank God.
You know, well, I do get a cut. Obviously, there is a percentage if things end up going better than we hoped. But yeah, I would not say that you are in good hands.
I'm never in good hands. That's the problem. If it's up to me, it's bad. If it's up to you, it's worse. So I don't know where we're going with this. But
yeah,
I mean, look. We got the Ethereum. We just let that shit rock, baby. It sits. And we you know, sit back, and one day, hopefully, you tell me that it's worth a lot of money. Until then, I'll never think about it.
I think we're just right on the beginning of our crypto journey, Chris. Don't worry. And hopefully, all this crazy, silly monopoly money shit does end up paying off. And we'll limp into the space.
I would love, look,
but not enough, I would not love enough to end us. You know, I'm not gonna liquefy the Wells Fargo business checking. and dump it all.
I would love for it to work. I love when things work. I just am used to them not working.
Tell me about it, brother.
Well, speaking of not working,
we have a DJ on today.
Yeah, we have a DJ and producer on today. Once again, a Canadian cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jacques Green.
Good friends of ex-podcast star Lunis. Jacques Green, he's been, you know, producing very cool, great house music up a long time. He recently... He was one of the first people I saw get into the NFT space releasing one of his songs that did, like I said, it went for, you know, almost 30K or something like that, 20 something. And he just started writing a little bit of a newsletter, you know.
Oh, what? He's coming? Oh, no. He thinks he can do everything just because he's sick with the ones and twos? Not on my watch.
Well, I mean, it is on your watch because that's pretty much me. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe not. We can talk to Jacques about that more. Find out about the future of live performances.
I love live performances.
See how he's going to spend his money. Maybe get some tips from him. Did he dump his Ethereum and move it into Bitcoin? Did he just cash out and buy a boat? We'll
the boat market in Montreal is big. So I hope he did.
You know, I know Canadians are outdoorsy type. Maybe not so much Montreal than some of the other province areas, but you know, obviously
province areas.
Matty Matheson, you know, he's got his farm and he goes down to the lake and all that stuff. It's a little more out in nature than a metropolitan area. Like, I'm sure he's done some ice fishing in his day.
He's definitely done some ice fishing. All right, let's give Big Jook a jingle. The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Chris and I are going to the country of Georgia in a month or so, and they have a very unique language, and I will be using Babbel to try and just get a little bit of action so I can know how to order my cold brew lattes and things like that in a way that's actually science-based. Don't spend hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Use Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons. They're handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new lingo in as little as 3 weeks.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off at babbel.com/howlong, spelled BABBEL.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Babbel.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscription, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's fantastic features. We barely have time to look at our credit card statements. You know, this is Rocket Money is a must have, Jason.
Yeah, I used Rocket Money and I found out that I had 7 different Peacock accounts up and running. And
exactly.
I mean, that's a sushi dinner the way I'm doing my omakase. So, you know, most Americans, they think they're spending a little on subbies, but Rocket Money will tell you you're dead wrong, queen. So stop wasting your money on things that you don't use. And cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/howlong.
That's rocketmoney.com/howlong. rocketmoney.com/howlong.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
So, Jock, what's up? You're at home in the studio? Is that where we're at?
I'm at home. I'm in, I'm in my, like, bat cave. My girlfriend and I rent, like, the ground floor in a basement of a house here in Toronto, in Canada. And so I've got the blessing and the curse of the home studio.
Yeah.
Blessing because it's kind of nice and comfortable, but curse because, like, not that many people have commutes, but, like, I'm definitely in my house all the time.
You can appreciate and understand the value of the separation of work-home life.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at least I have, like, you know, all our living spaces are on the ground floor, so I kind of feel like I have this, like...
Yeah.
All right, honey, I'm off to work. And I kind of...
she fills up your thermos with a hot cuppa. I hope you make the dope beats, honey.
Ties my tie, you know, gives me, like, the paper bag.
Nice. Dust off your shoulders.
I hope you have fun with your little remixes.
What neighborhood are you in?
So I'm near College and Dovercourt, near, like, the Dundas and Ossington, which Toronto people, it's like the kind of Williamsburg, wannabe Williamsburg-y part.
Oh, we know, we know, sweetie. I know you're hitting Shinola every day for your cup of joe, so don't try to front on us.
Yeah, and exactly, and to that point, it's like, it's not the good, quote-unquote good era of Williamsburg. It's like, I feel like in so many ways, Toronto likes to think of itself as a New York, but it's only true in the sense that, like, it skipped all the cool stuff and went straight to 285 Kent being a vice office. Like,
damn, it's that's for the heads right there. That's for the heads.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I mean, I also think that, like, some of that stuff is nice. Some of those, like, I mean, I'm not like against the corporate overlords moving in to some extent, because I think it's just kind of how the world's going to work. That's just kind of how it goes. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? You can't, nothing is going to stay pure forever.
I agree. And like, listen, there's still very many good things about Toronto. I think in the parts of it that I do enjoy actually remind me more of the beautiful Los Angeles you reside in. In that, like, it's at its best when you, like, kind of get in the car and drive 40 minutes to get some Szechuan, you know?
Shout-outs to the San Gabriel Valley.
Yeah, Alhambra.
Alhambra. So you're from Montreal, though, right?
I am, yeah, which is why I'm, like, jumping out the gate with a seething Toronto commentary.
Well, yeah, how long ago did you make the move?
I was in New York for 3 years.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Essex and Rivington, just in the nexus of bottomless brunch.
Hey, player.
I see you and your little grapefruit mimosa. Okay, I see you.
I mean, it was honestly great because I was on tour all the time in order to pay New York rent. So genuinely, you know, the Lower East Side in Chinatown is still to me amazing. Like on a Tuesday afternoon. Like if you're not like a weekend warrior, it's genuinely like.
Yeah, I agree. Off peak, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Fell in love with Sophie, my current girlfriend, who is in Montreal at the time, but originally from Toronto. She was ready to leave Montreal. I was frankly kind of ready to leave New York, and Toronto kind of felt like I'm in between the two, spiritually and geographically.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been here for 5 years and dying to leave.
So it feels like LA is in your sights. Is that what I'm the energy I'm getting from you, Jock?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. He said no, Jason. He looked at you like you're stupid. He said no. Nah,
he didn't
bro.
Even hit me with a I don't think so or maybe not right now. It was a straight up no.
Nah.
Which is fine, Jock.
On paper, like in a kind of dream world, there's so many people I love out there. There's of ease with which to like work in my field that I quite like.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel there's a lot of value to being like an outsider to it.
Yep.
Specifically as like kind of a musician. And my girlfriend works in healthcare and truly part of her, she's like a ER and emergency and ICU nurse. And like,
What's she doing with you? What the fuck?
I know, dude. It's like, yeah, you know, like, last night a DJ saved my life.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're saving
lives. Like, actually, like.
you're saving lives on the dance floor. She's saving actual human lives. And maybe that's the connection. Maybe that's the connection you had to find.
Call me crazy, but I think that's beautiful, Jock.
Big fact.
It's
really cool. Frankly, it gives me, like, I mean, this year it's given me a lot of purpose because she's been on, like, the side of burnout, like,
yeah,
dealing with this thing. And, you know, I've been able to be her rock and like kind of like cook a lot of the meals at home to kind of keep
yeah,
so that's been good. But yeah, anyways,
she's complaining about like real problems and you're like,
yeah,
babe, the promoter picked me up and his car smelled like McDonald's. This is fucking bullshit.
You wouldn't believe how many Bandcamp emails I got today, babe. It's it's insane.
It puts our DJ problems in perspective a little bit more.
It's actually been like very good for me over the years in that way to like keep that kind of like diva gene in check, you know. She only ever does like 12-hour shifts. Like she's on a 6-day run right now.
All right, Bergheim.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I get the same. My mom was a nurse forever, so I get the same.
Nice.
I'm like, yeah, every time I'm like, yeah, well, so this brand, you know, we're selling this thing. And I'm just like, man, this is really does not matter. This is the dumbest. I literally do the dumbest shit in the world. It's the most meaningless thing in the world.
I mean, I get that. On the flip side to that, though, and when I first started seeing her, like, I had this, like, inferiority complex in that way. But she was like, honestly, if there was no good music and shit to do outside of that, like,
yeah,
how could you possibly do so many long hours if, like, you left work and, like, you just live in a drab, shitty world? Like, so, you know, we all play our part. The brand needs to be activated, Chris.
Look, let me tell you something. No one knows that better than me.
You show me a world without dope beats, I'll show you one that's not worth saving.
Exactly. Exactly. So wait, you want to leave Toronto and do you need to stay in Canada because of visa issues, or is the world your oyster?
The world's our oyster, but so part of what I was saying about like the LA thing is like she doesn't really feel comfortable working in y'all's like healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on the pod then. You want to blow smoke? Come on the fucking pod. We'll see.
This is the first I've heard about our healthcare system having problems. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's right. It's like, I mean, in a lot of ways, there's some, you know, there are some good things going for it. It's like you could work at a nicer hospital where people have money, but it's like, I think the joy mm-hmm. of the kind of mission of giving your life to kind of public health is undermined if you're then like kind of
totally
going to a system like that. So there's kind of like conflicts of interest and passions, but you know, who knows? Maybe this pandemic fully breaks
us
down.
So has she had the cookies at Cedars Sinai though?
Jason, you know what?
Because they kind of make it all worth it.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, Jason, true, I'm feeling true. A solution here, and it sounds like Australia to me. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, because as a DJ, you still need to stay exotic.
Exactly.
You know, if you're like, oh, Jock Green, he's flying in here from LA. It's like, oh, great, like another LA DJ, whatever. But if he's from, you know, an exotic location like Australia.
That's facts.
You know, that's going to get our guarantees up.
Also, right now, literally the only place that has like crowds going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
My friend Tristan, DJ Boring, is like playing these parties and like posting videos online, and it's just like 800 people, like mask off. Maybe I need to go to Melbourne, you know?
Yeah, I think you could. Yeah, I mean, coke is still too expensive, but like you could make a living. I'm sure you can make a nice living.
Yeah, how does your skin tan up? You a sun girl?
I'm a bald man, dude. So it's, you know,
that's what I'm worried
about.
I'm
a bald man and not so much a fan of shorts.
Ugh. Okay. We're the exact opposite.
But I mean, yeah.
I have a full head of hair, yeah, and I haven't worn pants in months.
Jason wearing pants just feels wrong, honestly. But it's a height issue, you know what I mean? So it's not the shorts chose him, is what I'm saying. He didn't choose the shorts.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, I love Toronto. I think it's a great city, but I also understand wanting to graduate. You know what I mean? Montreal, on the other hand, I can't do it, man. I just can't do it.
Really? Is that so? It's like it really is kind of a, I feel like for the most part love, but I do encounter people that just like can't fuck with it
at all.
It's
fine because like, I mean, my girl was living there for a long time, and like, I mean, I've had friends there. We have mutual Vince and Justin and all those guys, you know, all those guys who I really like. But it's just like, I think the thing for me is that it attracts, because it's so cheap to be there, it attracts a low ambition.
Which, so that's why I had to leave.
Yeah.
In my early 20s is literally why I had to leave. I obviously kind of had these like big city dreams of being in New York, but another part was like my shit was starting to kick off, and I get back from tours or get back from shows, and it's like my same boys who can like pay rent off DJing like once a month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are like, hey, do you want to go sit at the coffee shop for 7 hours? And like, obviously I do, but also like,
that sounds fucking bomb.
Yeah, yeah, that does sound pretty good. Yeah,
there's like a certain darkness to that as sure. well, and like, you know, you gotta. Feed off the energy, baby. Like, yeah, in the center of it all. And there's a CERN vibe in Montreal that's like, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I never really partied there. Like, I would come there and hang out with Vince and Justin and just kick it and go to dinner and shit and hang out.
Yeah.
I know the nightlife is a big part of the appeal. So I'm sure it was a nice place to cut your teeth. Like, actually.
Yeah, especially
music.
Back then.
Yeah.
For so many people, like, even for, like, Anglo, like, losers. Like,
don't call me that to my
excuse
face.
Squeeze me?
He looked at me and said, Anglo loser, Jason.
Just straight into Chris's square.
Let's make eye contact. But
more to the point of like, you'd have these kids from like BC or Ontario and like Vermont who would just kind of like move to Montreal to go to cheap, decent university and work like a telemarketing job or even do like medical trials at McGill.
Shit.
And rent was so cheap back then that you could pay your rent off this. And also, like, buy really cheap speedy cocaine and MDMA on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And, like,
sounds pretty good for a certain age. Can I ask you, what kind of living are we making on medical trials at McGill? That's an industry I'm trying to break into because I didn't really think about that. What are we talking about? Just giving blood?
Yeah, we're selling blood.
Yeah, like taking placebos and, like, yeah, like giving blood and, like, trial drugs and shit. Like, I knew a lot of people who did that. I think, like, Mac DeMarco, like, famously did that for a long time.
Damn.
That makes sense. I see that.
I guess I like work too much. I didn't know that was an option. But did you...
I mean, yeah, you truly do not mesh with like the true slacker bohemian Montreal lifestyle.
No, but I do, but I understand the appeal of all that. And like Old Port is like beautiful. Like some of that stuff is really nice. Like it really is nice to look at, and I understand, and the summer is nice, all that. If you're in college, I totally get it. Anything beyond that, I'm just like, I don't really understand. It's never Neverland.
I'm now kind of feeling drawn back there because like the food scene is really incredible. The kind of wine scene is really good. I do have now a circle of friends who have like made something of themselves. but more to the, like just like kind of hanging out with people that are like engaging and kind of like creative and interesting. And like there's a good like adult life there too.
Oh,
the
for
winter
sure.
Fucking sucks.
For sure. Are you sick in the kitchen?
I'm all right. I do my thing.
I think you'd be cooking.
I'd be cooking.
If you're talking about the appeal of a natural wine scene somewhere, then you better be cooking, because otherwise that ain't tracking for me. So you,
I mean,
you...
those small plates ain't serving themselves right now. So you got it.
Damn it.
You got it.
Damn, I didn't know you were a small plate mafia. Jacques, I know. You know. Speaking of food, I know that. You know, the Montreal style bagel has sort of taken off here in LA with Courage Bagels. There's like a big
there's a
New York Times piece about how LA has the best bagels in the country now, and
Bagelgate,
and one of the best and most popular ones does kind of their Montreal style. And a lot of people don't know what the difference of the two are. Can you explain as a true blue Montrealian?
Montreal involves eggs and boiled water with honey in it. They're also like kind of hand rolled to be much thinner, much doughier, and with the honey and the water, much sweeter. They both serve their purposes. I actually love a New York deli bagel, but I think like the first time I brought Hassan Rahim to Montreal when we were working on my first album together, we were out one night drinking, which is kind of the best time to eat one of these like Montreal bagels. And we just stopped by the bagel spot fresh, 3:30 in the morning. You get a little bag and like you get a paper bag and a little thing of cream cheese, and you literally just like rip a part of the bagel and dunk it in the cream cheese. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, Hassan got it, because the New York bagel is good by its virtue of being a sandwich receptacle, whereas the Montreal bagel stands on its own. It's kind of like the difference between like decent bread that you would want to make a sandwich with versus like a very good baguette that you can literally just eat by itself. You know,
is this a bread and butter bread versus, like you said, a sandwich receptacle?
I mean, you can definitely make great sandwiches with the Montreal bagel, but I think it like has a little more taste and like compelling texture that you can really...
Like a fine piece of sushi, you don't want to dump soy sauce and mayonnaise all over it.
I think that's exactly the right analogy. That's right.
I need to revisit, because it doesn't do much for me. It's good. I mean, a bagel's good. The reality is a bagel's
yeah,
almost
bagel's
always
good.
A bad one is good. So I think that the debate on style is, I mean, I think Montreal is, I mean, the most famous bagel after New York, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if there was bagel competition from other areas of the world that I wasn't familiar with.
I don't think
with.
There really is. Who's saying other bagels?
Los Angeles is popping. That's what it is.
Is that a regional style, or are they just doing other styles?
Other styles. Right, Jason?
Yeah, I think mostly other styles, but some of them are kind of like a little bit of a Cali hybrid between, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
They have CBD in it. It's like
a spelt flower CBD.
You know how hard it was for me to not make a joke like that, Chris? I'm trying to do better, and you're bringing me back down into the mud.
Well, somebody has to do it, because that's literally what California bagel would be, I think. It would be a CBD flour, and maybe a CBD butter or cream cheese, which I'm sure exists already.
Sign me up.
That, for sure.
Yeah, are you smoking on the BC buddies over there?
I'm sadly like 80% of the time death anxiety spiral from weed.
Okay.
So it doesn't really feature in my life so much.
Okay, you don't find yourself chiefing too often then?
No, I'll like buy these edibles that someone in the neighborhood makes and like eat like a point, like a, you know, three, whatever the fucking doses are, I'll do like a third of it or something. And even that's kind of a dice roll. It can kind of like sort of mellow me out and kind of have me a little more in the zone, or it's like, wow, all my friends only pretend to like me.
even though you get death anxiety from it, that's how much you love supporting small local business that you'll still Exactly. Purchase these wares from the local artisans just to show your support. And I think that's awesome. Right.
What a good guy. That's what right. a good guy, man. What a great guy.
You just got to do it.
Okay, so then more of a Coke MDMA guy then.
I mean, honestly, like, not that I've purposefully done like a clean living thing. I haven't really, not really any club drugs in my life right now in general. I find that I miss the chaos that ensues around them more than the substances themselves, I think.
Okay.
I really don't have a desire to sit around in my house on a bean, you know?
On or off a bean.
That makes one of us. That makes one of us. So when you're in the lab or when you're DJing, are you just a little tipsy or do you like to get twisted?
There's moments in the lab that I do like a couple drinks for sure.
Okay.
And kind of same out DJing. I think like maybe 10 years ago or something, like being like truly sloshed, even then was only mostly for like an after party. I think like so much of good DJing is really you're playing with the crowd. So there's really kind of like
hold on. We need to get you to fill out the consent form. I don't know if the crowd has consented to that. Yeah. So we're gonna have to. I'll have our lawyer reach out directly.
Yeah, and so like obviously you can kind of quote unquote like get there however you want. But there's definitely been a couple times in my life where like you're playing the after party and all of a sudden like yeah. Please sprinkle that thing in my drink, like while I keep playing, and kind of like get me in the zone of like where everyone else in this room seems to be, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Definitely not made it ever a habit. In fact, like very much steer clear of like performing like my main booked shows. Like,
are you able to DJ or perform proficiently while you're blacked out?
For sure. For sure. Oh yeah.
He's like, bitch, I'm a pro.
Possible.
I'm a pro, bitch.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I've always been able to DJ while blacked out as well. And yeah, you know, when everything goes well and you don't remember anything and you did a good job playing the Calvin Harris songs, it is bittersweet.
Definitely been a few funny moments like since the record box era where you can like plug your USBs into your computer the next day and like see your track list and be like, wow, that section of the night. what was that?
Damn, I really took
seeing
it
a whole block of like 12 tracks, being like, that's crazy, man.
So when is the last time you did an actual DJ set?
Actually, the last DJ set was in LA, a Lights Down Low party with a Gulcher Lustwerk.
How long ago was that?
Like fucking a year and 2 weeks, I guess. There was like a live set a few days later in Colorado, and like that was when... I remember, like, after the sound check, going for lunch with a friend in Denver, and, like, on TV, they were, like, announcing, like, the NBA season was over and shit like that, and I was like, this is, like, weird, eh? Like, it was all, like, kind of starting to feel, like, real, and I'm, like, texting my manager, like, I don't think we're going to be able to finish this tour, dude, and he's like, just stick with it, man, we'll get there, and, like...
I love that.
And then we got back to the venue, and, like, the talent booker was, like, just got off the phone, and, like... Every other live show after that weekend had been canceled, you know? It really had this, like, end of days kind of feeling. And we finished that show. The next night we're supposed to be in New Orleans, and the night after that in Chicago. And the New Orleans show had canceled because of all that.
When New Orleans cancels, that's when you know shit is real.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my... like booking agent and my manager, it's like 3 a.m. after the show in Denver. They're like, all right, we're looking at flights to book you straight through to Chicago. And I'm like, no, you're not. Like, I'm booking on Jason and I flights back to Canada right now. Like, this is over. Yeah. Like, cancel the rest of the dates.
Just and like, that, though, that was, I'm appreciate that your manager and agent had the bottom line and not your well-being.
Yeah.
Because that's what good managers do. You know what I mean?
Respect.
They got to get the bottom line. They got to get the bottom line.
You don't make 15% to COVID results. You know what I mean?
Dead ass. Yeah, dead ass. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. No, have you been twitching and shit? Or have you just been in the lab?
As little as possible.
You've been twitching and shit?
I think I've only, like, DJed online, like, twice. It's really not fun. I could imagine, like, I haven't checked in on any, like, stand-up comedians doing this shit online, but I bet it's dire as well.
Yeah.
It's like, they're really, like...
I think it's only for people who are like, I need to do this.
Yeah.
Or else, like, I'm not going to be well.
Yeah, yes. That's right. I've seen people do, like, you know, pretty nice things with it. I traveled to Montreal for this, like, well-produced and shot, like, live set thing that was, like, kind of fun to do, I guess.
That was the Igloo Fest thing?
the Igloo Fest thing, but for the most part, it really filled me with like an intense sadness every time I played online.
Yeah.
There's like, it's even worse than attending one of those things because all of a sudden you've like set your phone up, you're alone in your house, you're probably like monitoring kind of low, you can't even read the chat room, so even if people are kind of logged in and talking about it, you're not really keeping up with
yeah.
it. Every mistake is amplified because no one's like sloshed on a dance floor having a conversation.
Yeah.
It's really like the utmost worst context.
And then on top
music.
Of it, you also don't get any money.
Yeah, there's that too. And there's the thing where like, when I was thinking about it with the Igloo Fest thing, it's like, you know, usually when you build a light show and you rehearse, like, you get to play it 40 times. Whereas, like, once you do it on the internet, there's only one internet. So, like, you only really get to do that set once. So, I mean, if anything, this year has only just reassured me that, like, actual live music's not going anywhere. As much as, like, older assholes like you and I, like, might want to just like stand in the back and be complaining about it all of it. There's a certain thing about it that is truly like that the metaverse can't really fucking replace.
Oh, for sure. Oh no, for sure. It's going to come. I have a whole, I think people are going to be desperate to, I think people, I mean, The Weeknd sold like, I think that world tour sold out the day after the Super Bowl that he put it on. I mean, you know, it's like, it's crazy. I mean, I think, and that's a year in advance. You know what I mean? Like people are that
desperate.
I mean,
even I would go see The Weeknd.
I'll take anything. I'll take anything.
We are a pro Weeknd podcast. Just so you understand.
Not really.
You know, hey, House of Balloons, 10-year anniversary. Let's go.
No, I think that stuff actually, now that we look back on that, I think it's like fine. But I think I want Max Martin banger. I want like hits from him because he's capable of that. And some people aren't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I will hand you that. That like also there's this thing where like so much pop music today is like kind of like a lot of like the new Hollywood like A-list where they're almost too relatable. And I want divas. I want larger than life. I want like this non-relatability. Like I want the Rihannas and like the Leonardo DiCaprios. Like
and
like I think The Weeknd is one of the only people in like this younger generation that truly brings this like, oh yeah, you look like a Grammy winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I respect
that. No, I agree. I mean, I think that there is, I mean, we talk about that all the time on this show about like the lack of mystery. You know what I mean?
About The Weeknd?
No, well, okay. Well, we do talk about The Weeknd a lot because I'm a fan and Jason
try not
Jason
to.
Isn't. But I mean in general with
hey, Toronto stand up.
Celebrity.
Toronto sit down.
I just think that with celebrities of all kinds, we have too much access and that's how people make money now. So it's like there's just nothing to learn. There's no mystery with anyone.
Yeah.
So it makes people less compelling, especially musicians. I think actors, I don't care as much. Musicians, I care more about what I'm getting.
Well, I agree. I think the difference between actors and musicians are that, like, actors are selling you the cult of personality, almost, and the more you do know about them, the more you want to see them in all these different roles, whereas, like, musicians are inherently playing one role. And, like, if The Weeknd was, like, on Twitch doing his taxes, like, you're just like...
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Like, you know, like...
Yeah.
I never want to picture David Bowie, like, doing the dishes.
No, agreed.
And I think that's like kind of where that distinction is, like that like musicians, even ones that even aren't in like these Austasian costumes, like the Aphex Twins or honestly even like the One of Tricks Point Nevers, like the newer ones, like I think they're like, you don't want, I don't know, I don't want you like in the back of an Uber being like, oh my god, gonna miss my flight, like
it's
not compelling. Yeah,
we want to pay our hard-earned money for the show. We want you to come out an hour late, and when you come out it's amazing, and when it's done you leave and
disappear,
we don't know
into
where
like
you
that
to.
Weird, yeah, that mental like fortress where like I picture you making this music just oozing out of your fingers somehow, and like I think that's
well,
like,
it's birthed people like Drake and like Lana Del Rey and even Phoebe Bridgers who are just so good at it that like it's like two separate careers almost. Like obviously the music has to be there and they have to have
that's true.
They have to have hits, but like Lana Del Rey is, all of this is pro. All of Drake shit is super pro. All of Phoebe Bridgers, they troll themselves, they play the game, they're funny about it. And it's good. I like it. It's entertaining.
Lana's media personality has been chaotic last couple years.
But that's still planned, I think.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's still calculated. And I think that's even, but it's making her even more compelling. It's like you move to the Midwest and date a cop. Like, this is fucking crazy. Like, are you just, is this just a character? You know what I mean?
Chaotic is a market.
Yeah.
It's 100%. Good. Honestly, it's
it's really interesting. And it's like, everyone talks about her all the time. And to me, the music is like fine, but she's very compelling as a celebrity.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's people who can play the game like that, but it's very far. It's few and far between, I think.
Yeah, I'd say truly your friend of the pod, Phoebe Bridgers, seems to be doing that like extremely well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, I think that there's just but I also think part of it for her is maybe just like she's the right age. You know what I mean? She grew up with this stuff. It comes naturally to her. Whereas I think it kind of comes naturally to Drake, too, to be honest with you, like because he just wants it that bad.
Man, I think like between Drake and The Weeknd and stuff, and I can tell you from living here, like the on the ground reporting. It's like Toronto does need to sit down, Jason. There's such a thing as a city being like too proud.
Yes.
And it's like everything here now has like the six in like the marketing campaign slogan for it. It's like, hey, six, what are you eating tonight? Like in an Uber Eats. It's like, it's insane, man. Like it's got to calm down.
I mean, when you look at that from a bird's eye view and like what one musician has done for one city, that is, it's like remarkable. It's like actually insane. Like he made
it really is.
Like
the
tourism, I'm sure like the NBA All-Star game being there, all that stuff never happens.
I think in a weird way, I don't think the Raptors would have won the championship without like the whole Drake like energy and building the momentum around the team like for years. It's like, it's pretty incredible. And there is something to be said to like making a bunch of like suburban kids from like even Mississauga and Brampton like feel like somebody through this like seeing themselves out there. But
it sucks.
Yes, it's really.
I understand. That's why I identify with my favorite Toronto artist, Shawn Mendes, a little more.
Oh,
not quite as important maybe in the cultural zeitgeist, but I would say hotter, and I would say
true.
Could have more hits. He's just going to need a little time. You know, Drake's been at it a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Bieber gets brushed under the rug a little bit.
I think it's going to be Bieber summer.
It's going to, I mean.
That record that sucks, is, dude.
I know. It's a white boy summer.
There's no songs.
I haven't heard it beyond the one, like, a single. And then, obviously, the Justice Cease and Desist, which was just.
Bro, those guys got to get hilarious. Those guys got to get a life, man. You can't do that. Like shit like that is just so corny to me, bro. Like you guys are, you're rich, you're older. Like unless it was a press thing, which it did get people talking about them again. I bet their streams went up and shit for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So if it's calculated, then okay, I guess I like it. But if it's not, it's like, bro, you guys got to relax.
I think I see it more as like a wink on the ladder of like what you're saying of like getting the streams up.
I would like to think so, but French people take themselves very seriously, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Big facts. It's true.
And also, Chris, not every EDM artist has the ability to just sell these NFTs and rest on their laurels, cashing those.
Good point.
Those ETH.
Yeah,
coins.
Bro.
Wow. Yeah, wow, bro. Wow.
We need to talk to you because our NFT did only okay, I would say. You know what I mean? Our NFT.
Yeah. And so we have a lot of questions for you.
We have a lot of questions. And to be fair, our NFT is also not quite as compelling as original music by professional, but. It seemed to work out. Let's walk us through this because you were early on the game.
I mean, it's been a crazy few weeks or month, I guess, at this point. I mean, I'd been already kind of feeling a bit flooded by the mention of it on the timeline even back then. So like a month and a half ago, and I didn't really give it much thought. And then a few kind of like friends started making them, like David Rudnick and a few other people. And it kind of felt like, okay, there's going to be more than just like astronauts holding bitcoins. Like, there's going to be room for more than just like Elon Musk riding a Doge like on this thing. Okay, that's kind of neat. My particular thing. So I sold a token of like this loop of a new song, but more importantly, tied the publishing for that song into the sale, and that was born out of like kind of Charles the Foundation hit me up being like, "Yo, we want like a couple musicians to maybe start thinking about like this. We'd love to add some musicians into the mix over the next few months." And you came up because there's always been kind of like a visual side to what you do. Be curious to see what you come up with kind of thing. And was going back and forth with it with like my label manager and trying to think of like what could possibly, it didn't seem like just premiering a single just on that kind of tip was like really interesting or like at least not like proven. And honestly, it was from my manager really like not understanding what we were selling. Being like, but are we selling the master side or the publishing side? Like, what is this? And being like, no, man, it's like a baseball card. Like,
yeah.
You're selling a commemorative like shot glass of this song. Like, it's something else entirely.
And he's like, I don't get it. And you're like, nobody gets it.
Yeah. And we were like, out of that, we were just like, well, let's up the stakes. Like, if this token is like a thing that you just hold, like, and maybe it can like represent a little something more. Now, crypto degenerates have now told me that that can be considered LARPing, so to speak, which
Jesus Christ.
Don't really give a fuck about.
Yeah.
What? How so exactly?
Because the publishing rights themselves are not like actually written into like the smart contract of the ERC-20 token.
Jesus Christ.
It's more of a gentleman's agreement.
It is a gentleman's agreement.
All right, guys, I gotta go.
Thanks. So, I mean, it was cool. I do think as a potential to disrupt the music industry, I think it definitely would take like a lot of rewriting, a lot of old rules that definitely work in the advantage of the major labels and major publishing houses. So the jury's still out on whether or not like it'll change. But it was pretty insane. We spoke very briefly that week, Chris, when it happened, and I was just like on the phone with tech and music journalism journalists every day, being like, yeah, it's kind of crazy, and like, I don't even know how I feel about this stuff. And yeah, there's a lot of scammers. And
what are you gonna say? Like, it's like, yeah, we sold it, it works. Like, you know,
I'm still on the fence.
Yeah, and but I think like there was a lot of like, you are now a vanguard for this thing, and like, there was actually a lot of people that like still now wanted me to be this like poster child for like a bold new music industry on the blockchain, and it's.
For activity in the six in the world of non-fungible tokens.
Hey, listen, man. Like, you know, Drake's chasing TikTok dances. I'm trying to bring Toronto to that next shit. Yeah. We got to bring the six to the NFT space, yeah. Baby.
I see your little TikTok. I have MP4s, bitch.
Yeah. So, I mean, now I'm like a month out, and I just like, much like most of my friends who have done NFTs, I'm just like, when can I like sell someone like a 7-inch?
Yeah. Let's go all the way back. Well, what did the so just to explain, you sold, so basically the owner of this of this is able to, in theory, license the song with your approval.
With my approval. So like, you know, it can't be on a Marjorie Taylor Greene
sure
ad campaign. But yeah, the hope was that like I kind of saw gaming out a couple different ways in my mind where, like, potentially just, like, a fan with deep crypto wallets would get it and either, like, sit on it almost as a gift, like, keep your publishing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that gesture is possible there. It could be someone with ties to music supervisors and, you know, movies and ads who could be like, this is a cool new way to, like,
hold. I'm about to get this shit on a Budweiser Super Bowl commercial. And I'm gonna make.
I'm saying,
a
like,
of money.
Imagine if you could secure your own finder's fees for like building like a music supervision portfolio that way. Like, you can make back what you spent on that NFT in one ad sync, theoretically.
Mm. Dumbass Jock Green fell for my trick.
How much did the song go for?
It went for 13 Ethereum, which at the time was, I don't know, 22
like
grand
20,
US 20, or
yeah, I think it was like 23,000, something like that.
Yeah, Foundation took 15% of that.
Those motherfuckers, always in our fucking pockets. Fuck Spotify, fuck the Foundation, all these
shout
guys
out,
just
shout
taking
out to
our...
Jeff. You know, shout out to Jeff over at Foundation, we
I'm
love you,
I'm just kidding. We love...
No,
yeah,
Jeff,
I love you, but why didn't our video of me hitting Jason in the face with a cake go for 22,000 USD? I don't understand. I don't understand what happened. How come this guy made a song? Everybody makes songs. Yeah. Like, come on, this is... What's the deal, man?
I think, to be fair, like, at that time, they earned their commission on that one. Like, it was also, like a pretty crazy time. It was right after the Nyan Cat, like, thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm ambivalent about it, but I think a lot of it is kind of cool. Like, I am liking seeing, like, a lot of, like, web art people that in the past weren't able to be, like, paid decently for their shit to, like, go get a bag. Like, a lot of, and I do like the idea that, like, memes that have so much social and cultural capital could end up being worth actual money. I think the native work to that space is the nine.
See,
and
that's
half,
what's
frankly.
That's what's so funny to me. That's the stuff that interests me the least. I think what you did is the most interesting thing I've heard.
I
can like understand it a little more. Right. I think that's why.
I think in the long term, we'll end up with like much more stuff like the thing I did, and like I think the jury's still out on whether someone like feels the need to like own songs again after 10 years of Spotify. But I think there's new ways to approach that and new ways to incentivize more average people, not just like crypto degenerates, but like more like average fans to like own a part of the new Weeknd single. Like I think there's going to be ways to kind of like make that really compelling. And frankly, I've had a lot of conversations with people that are working on shit that I'm just like, damn, that's cool. You guys are like out there already. So
no. I mean, I just when I heard about what you did, I was like, oh, this actually makes me understand this, and it was really simple for me to understand. And I think that's probably why people were so interested in talking to you about it. Is it like kind of made it like humanized it a little bit? Mm-hmm. Where I was like, before that, I was like, what the fuck are these people talking about? And I was like, oh, Jason.
Charles of Foundation. After was like, dude, I hate you. Like every manager in the music industry.
Oh yeah,
is like, message. Me about this.
Yeah.
Shake the table. Yeah.
Have you seen like, have your streams and just everything gone up? Has this like raised awareness in a pretty big way?
Yeah, it definitely felt like there was a pretty big pickup around everything. Yeah, I mean, I got like so many new followers on social media platforms, all of which have like fucking crypto wallet addresses in their bios. So
hey, man.
I've tapped into a new market of
their stream counts as a cool person stream is just the same.
Oh man, and also obviously like my DMs were basically unusable for a couple weeks with a mix of like people asking for foundation invites and like various tech crypto. It's a weird.
My DMs have been the same as so I can only imagine what yours have been like.
Did Silicon Valley like tech people? I've never been very close to any of them. Like, does it also feel so scammy? Like, there's a real kind of, like, phishing, like, spam email vibe to a lot of, like, the crypto world.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I see that for sure. I mean, because it is a, you know, a little bit
it's
of a...
It's just so unregulated,
it's
I guess.
An outlaw Wild West thing going on, the gold rush of, like, you know, everyone is getting rich off of this if you kill it, but also, like, don't trust your neighbor because they're gonna...
Yeah.
You know, when you have this much money potentially at stake... How can you trust anyone if somebody's like, oh, I can just, you know, figure out your shit, steal your password, steal your wallet, and...
I get DMs all the time now on Discord, from, like, these, like, you've won a airdrop of, like, a certain amount. Just enter your address here. I mean... Did you guys follow what happened to Trevor McFreedy's Friends with Benefits, like the hack of the coins a few weeks
ago? Saw a little bit of that, yeah. And Trevor, he's the one who bought your bought your NFT,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a thing that can happen.
Yeah, and a few weeks later, I used some of the Ethereum that he has essentially paid me to buy more Friends with Benefits tokens. And then lost thousands of dollars to that hack, but all in an Ouroboros. It's all Trevor's money anyway.
Right. Yeah,
always
yeah.
has been. Yeah, always yeah. has been. Says the astronaut, pointing the gun at my back.
Yeah, I mean, it's a baby giraffe that just got born. We're still getting our legs and our footing in this strange new world.
Yeah, I mean, it bounced back, and the concept of the whole thing is pretty. Compelling.
Yeah, do you consider yourself like this kind of is this something you are you like a tech forward kind of guy? Is this something that you kind of fell into or were you like did you have to be talked into this or were you like, yeah, let's go fucking face first?
Yeah, I think it's not that I've like looked for those kind of opportunities, but at different moments in my life, definitely like I owe a large part of my career first when I was a kid starting to make music, being like, you know, making the most of MySpace and really kind of getting the network shit down and like spreading demos through those DMs and like meeting the Lucky Me guys who still release my music today, you know, like that's MySpace era connections. And then I really built the profile of like kind of the Jacques Green project in the very early days of SoundCloud and making the most of it. And like, as I was kind of like tiptoeing around it and feeling like a little weird, I was like, why am I feeling weird about this? Like, this kind of feels like the same kind of like paradigm shift as what like kind of SoundCloud felt at the time.
Yeah.
And so like it feels stupid not to at least try and approach it with like an open mind and like, you know, in good faith or whatever.
Makes a whole lot of sense. But also I don't want you to keep using this special funny voice every time you say something smart and profound, Jock. We need to work on that with our therapist, okay?
True. I got
You're now a thought leader in the crypto space, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
It's I watched too many car review videos from Doug DeMuro. Do you guys know that guy?
No.
He's my favorite car review guy, and he has great in-depth analysis of all these cars, but he'll always put on these voices if like it's a fancy feature or something. And I think it's rubbed off on me.
Yeah.
What kind of whip are we pushing, bro? Are you really, you got something on shoes up there in the Great White North?
Oh yeah, I've got a 1991 E30, like a 325i Beamer. Mm-hmm.
So you're telling? Wait, hold on. You're a musician. You're not a graphic designer. You're sure? Hold on.
Oh my god.
You are pushing a graphic designer head ass car, which is cool. Those guys, those guys have
beautiful
a good
car.
I mean, I come from that. I come from that world, essentially. Really, so it's just. It's like Lady Macbeth, you know, you wash your hands, the blood's still there. I'm still a graphic designer at heart.
Incredible parallel to make between you and graphic designers. That really sent me there. Well, I mean, are you able to, do you have a garage and shit? Like, how serious does this have to be?
I rented a parking space in some like basement of a condo for the winter. And I just got the car out a few weeks ago. And, yeah, she's my, you know, if I, a couple more NFTs and who knows, I might put a turbo in it.
Oh. Hey, let's go, big spender. Let's go.
For now, really try not to put too much money on it because I still am not playing shows and will not be playing shows for a very long time. So
I don't know if I would say a very long time. I think, you know, are you starting to get offers or emails from your management and agency?
Yeah, there's been some stuff. The UK seems to be really going gung-ho, but
I don't even DJ anymore, and I got two offers yesterday.
They're trying to bring back them jeans to the decks, and I'm heavily encouraging it, and he's you know, as his manager, you know, I'm having to really push him.
I'm seeing that as like maybe all of humanity realizing that we need to maybe load a previous save that's like early on in the game than right before the pandemic. So we need to bring back a Them Jeans era. Like bring back Cinespace. Like it's time to.
It's the roaring 20s. The roaring 20s are the roaring mid aughts in this house.
That's right.
In this house.
I'm getting a bright blue American Apparel zip up hoodie like with the white zipper.
Yeah, we're going. I think that's a great idea, Jason. I mean, are these offers
a six pack?
Don't divulge any details. Of course, we'll have to negotiate off pod. But are these offers like regular party kind of vibe, or is it like a corporate kind of thing?
It's a little bit of both. Well, but also two of them have been weddings.
Oh, okay.
Which is not...
Last time I saw you, you were on your way to a wedding.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When we were... God, where was that?
In Baja.
Oh, yeah.
In the airport.
That was... I did not DJ that wedding, then. Yeah, I mean, have you DJ'd weddings before, Jock?
No. Yeah. Actually, my childhood friend's sister's wedding it was a fucking blast.
I imagine you don't try to do it all the time.
No.
unless it's like a lot of money or a very close friend, I usually say no.
Yeah. Last time I was offered to DJ a wedding, it was outside. I played Good Room in Brooklyn, and it's like 5 a.m. I'm spilling out. The whole crowd's coming out, and this guy who like didn't seem familiar with my music, just like was at a popping club in Brooklyn, was like. After those headlines, I was like, hey, bro, like, I'm getting married this fall, like, would love for you. And I'm like, just like, a little tipsy, surrounded by like many friends, and just be like, I mean, I don't really do that. He's like, who do you think you are, man? Like, and like, really, like, pulled up on me and like,
yeah, and you're like, that. Like that's cool. I don't even know who I am anymore. But yeah, did you end up doing that wedding?
No, it really, like, there wasn't even really room for like, an actual conversation. I think like I was so caught off guard, and I was like, at first I want to be like talk to my agent, but like it definitely didn't seem like that kind of conversation. I was just like, oh dude, I don't really like do that kind of thing. And he was like, who do you think you are, like,
damn,
my money's no good, like, or something. I was like, it's just not what I do. Like,
yeah, you don't ask Bruce Weber to shoot your wedding, bro. He's busy. Like, we don't, you know what I mean? Like, good. That don't work that way. That's just not how it is.
That's good.
So how are you going to be investing this NFT money? We need lessons because we're sitting on our two coins. And you know,
nice.
Have you? I don't want you to disclose your financials, obviously. But you know, have you?
I do, but
have you?
Well, so this is not financial advice.
Have you already cashed out? Or are you going to keep it in Ethereum? Did you buy Bitcoin with it?
So far I've lost a lot of it in the Friends with Benefit hack.
Okay. Okay. Good portion is gone.
Through another like discussion I was following on there, bought a coin that immediately tanked.
Okay.
Shit.
Can you say what that coin is?
It was Oxygen, which was like a trading protocol thing that seemed interesting, but was totally bunk. So I've like fully like all, I think my whole experience in this is cursed. Like I think when the auction ended and the Ethereum was transferred to my account, like Ether dropped like 30%. It was like a massive correction occurred like an hour later.
Which Trevor knew
so
that
I'm
was
like,
going to happen.
Not really touching it right now. Yeah, I bet.
Well, I mean, look, man, you're still at the forefront of the culture, so you're getting paid in that way. Let's look at it that way.
I'm not mad. I mean, frankly, all of this is like, it's just kind of a funny way to feel a little more like invested in this thing that like. So much of this just feels sort of like inevitable and is only kind of getting better. Hopefully they like iron out a lot of like the inefficiencies and the environmental impact of it all. But like it feels like it's kind of here to stay. So it's cool to have like a little more skin in the game as far as that's concerned. I had like the tiniest little morsel of a bag in the world before. So it's like...
And a little more bag.
One crumb.
Do we have new Jacques Green music on the horizon?
Yeah. So last year I was a hot mess. I think I was on the back foot a lot with this this whole panoramic going on. I was lucky enough actually that like a bunch of people hit me up for remixes, which you've heard most of them by now. They're like mostly out. And that was like sick because I could eat and pay rent. But also it was like nice to kind of like get stems from other people's work and still feel like I was working away at my craft, but like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like kind of, it's more the craft than the art in a weird way. And you can kind of like execute and it gives you kind of like deadlines throughout your life, which kind of shapes your, you know, slippery lockdown days. It was really helpful in more ways than one.
Honest day's work for an honest day's pay.
Exactly. And I'm actually like quite happy with how that, all those like came about. But anytime I would like sit at this very chair and try to think of like, what does Jacques Green have to put out into the world in a pandemic? It was pretty fucking dry. It was very like, there was nothing to say. Mm-hmm. But towards kind of like last fall, last winter, I started kind of like kicking things back into gear. That promise track actually that was linked to the NFT was part of like the early stuff that I was doing. I'm now deep into a new EP. I'm working with Joel Ford, who helped me mix down the last album, who's a close collaborator of another friend of the pod, Tom Crelly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know Joel as well. Yeah, Joel's the man.
Yeah. So Joel is the man. Last time around, I basically took, like, my album was, like, kind of 95% done and kind of took it to a spot. And we worked on it together to get the final 5% done. Mm-hmm. And this time around, I kind of wanted to have a bit more of like a collaborative nature to it. And so I think partly driven by like working alone so much, especially in the lockdown, it's just like isolation just sucks. So just to try to like open up the process. And so
you got to build with fam.
You have to build with fam.
Yeah. So I've like made a shit ton of demos and we're kind of like sending stuff back and forth. And it's more just like, it's almost more just having like a soundboard that I pay for, like a therapist or a sex worker. It's like having this like person that is like, is this crazy? Like, is this a good hi-hat? And he's helping me like track down some like kind of vocal parts.
So your girlfriend hasn't been that person for you.
Yeah.
She's more of an audiobook person.
Okay. She's like, who the fuck tunes a hi-hat, you loser? And you're like, you're not helping, babe.
So I'm working on that. I'm hoping to finish that in the next like couple months, hopefully have it out by summer. I've been also working on a collaborative EP for like a long time now with No Such Thing, another Angelino.
Yeah. Shout out to Jason.
Shout out to Jason, big time. Him and I have known each other for like 10 years. We started working on stuff like very quietly a while back, kind of for the same reason, the same impetus of like being so alone. It's like, yo, let's go back to those demos. Like, let's trade some shit. And so like We'll get on FaceTime once a week, kind of like trade some beats, trade some bars, quick little freestyles over FaceTime on the ideas.
Okay.
I hope that is not part of the equation, but do you, bro.
So you guys are doing a bit of a versus style battle. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's right.
Versus style battle. Yeah. Battle.
Okay. And also, I noticed that you've been getting on your little newsletter swag in quarantine as well. Is that right?
Yeah, baby. I'm not the wordsmith that Shkreli is. But I'm trying to share these thoughts. I think it's like this kind of goes back to kind of what we were talking about access to musicians and mystery. I think there's like a weird fine line there. Like I don't want to be. I still think there's good kind of world building to be done and kind of create access points into your work and kind of like expand on the lore of what your work is without like destroying the illusion of
I agree with you.
Hopefully this stuff kind of sits on that line. I think all of it is really born out of a desire to connect.
Well, what kind of stuff have you been writing about then?
Yesterday was actually the 10-year anniversary of my breakout single, Another Girl, which was kind of crazy to kind of like, as kind of these 10 years come up to be right on the 1-year cusp of no clubs at all. And so it was along a lot of very retrospective kind of autobiographical little blurb about that. Mm-hmm. But mostly it's been more of a wide-ranging thing. Like the one before, I wrote a lot about Claire Denis, the French filmmaker, mm-hmm. and Burial. And the kind of metaphysical connection that I sense between them, or more like how I connect to their work. I think like trying to draw a parallel between musicians and filmmakers that I find are very actually cultivate an air of mystery and yet still very clear desire to connect to humanity and still a very empathetic, like that mystery and unknowable does not equate to cold and separate. Mm. You know, there can be kind of like this link with people.
Damn.
Yeah, and I
gotta sign up.
Okay, that sounds like a great high concept piece of artwork, my friend.
So that's like really interesting. I think that's a good use of your time too. I think that there's only so many people that are qualified to talk about that stuff. You know what I mean? Or even feel qualified to talk about that
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, you know, and the jury's still out on whether I can really adequately talk about film. I think like I still try to like learn more. Like Mike Silver, a good friend of Tom's, a good friend of mine. He's the true movie man around these parts, and he's put me onto a bunch of really good stuff. Yeah, I think movies have really kind of kept me sane throughout my whole life, honestly. I think like through high school, a mix of like big depression and insomnia, you keep your like link to humanity and other people by like, if I can't deal with people in the real world, at least I can like ingest their stories and characters like through this lens kind
of. How much Donnie Darko were you watching back then?
Jacques, tell us where they can find you. Where can we sign up for the newsletter? Where can we listen to new music, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think all of it is every usual suspect, / JCQUES, come Jacques Cousteau, and green with an E. I'm, I'm on the damn Bird app. I'm on the gram. On Spotify.
All the above.
And then jacquesvie.com is where I'm kind of reposting that newsletter. And,
great.
That's it.
Great. Well, it was a pleasure having you.
Thanks so much for having me.
No, anytime. It was really interesting, actually. I'm glad that we got to know each other a little bit, because you've been in the wider circle for me for a long, long time. So
yeah, we're in each other's friends' top eights, you know? We're like
in the
extended universe.
I'm surprised we've not crossed paths yet, so I was glad we could do it today.
Yeah, cool.
All right, man. We will talk to you soon. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good. Have a good day. Later.
Later.